Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here it is, right now.
Welcome. Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rop and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome in a Tuesday of Primetime. No Rop once again, a Buck, Souk, and Ortner edition of Primetime. Big Souk, how we doing?
Ahoy! I do have Versace updates, though.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, so Rop's back on Thursday, and Versace sent me a little thing today. He said, he just said he was back on Thursday. I said, sounds good, man. Hope it was awesome. And he said, oh, it was, fella. Lucked into passage to something called Berkman's Place. It was unreal. Another level. We'll tell you about it. But just know that my close personal friend, Peyton Manning, was the greeter.
So, oh, okay.
Apparently, and that I responded with, this whole rebrand is going fantastic. Yeah. Like, Isaac Rob doesn't get to meet Peyton Manning.
But Versace does.
But apparently Versace does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Isaac Rob went to the Masters a couple years ago. Nothing cool happened. Versace goes to the Masters.
Well, what was the one thing
he's rubbing shoulders
Fowler's
with Peyton Manning.
Wife? Was that it?
No, he didn't meet anyone's wife. He just was standing next to someone's wife, and then he claimed that Allison Stokes wanted him.
Well, I didn't know that Peyton Manning was down at the Masters. Not surprised that he would be. One, he has his own green jacket. Did you know that?
He's got a green jacket.
I didn't know he did either. I don't know if he was an honorary something at some point. But
I know that there's people that are that work at Augusta that can get a green jacket.
Sure, people who are on different boards and committees and things like that. But I saw George Kittle had an Instagram post. He was down there with some friends, and it was Kittle and Kirk Cousins and Peyton Manning all hanging out at Augusta. And Manning was in a green jacket with an official Masters hat.
Well, apparently Manning's working a door at some place that Versace found a way to go in. So. When Rob comes back on Thursday, apparently we have tales of hanging out with Peyton Manning.
I love it.
Yeah, that's my Versace update live from the Masters. And apparently he's doing well.
Well, I did want to revisit one thing also from the Masters yesterday. We talked to start the show about the Julia Westerman issue of winning the lottery. Well, not an issue for us, but an issue for many other men out there.
Fragile men. If you don't know, every year the media members down there covering it get to enter a lottery, and someone gets to play the Masters. Someone gets to play Augusta National after the tournament. And this gal won it this year, and she had never played a round of golf. And, of course, every fragile ego male was livid about this.
How could she take someone else's spot?
I think Dirt was doing this, too, saying he's demand that they – I don't know if he was demanding. Dirt was upset. There were some people –
He said he was upset collectively for all the other reporters who actually play golf or something.
But there
like
were
that.
Fragile egoed men that were demanding that she hand it over to someone. Like, Joe Fish was in here, too. He's like, well, I hope she's doing the right thing and giving it to someone else. Oh, okay. Cool, you get a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but a bunch of dudes say that you can't keep it because you got a skirt and you don't play golf. So hopefully she went out and shot 172 and didn't care.
So I did – we have an update from Julia.
I have not seen this.
So she tweeted this during our show yesterday around 5 o'clock. She said, all right, this week I learned, one, I should be more specific about my golf experience. So now I'm thinking, okay, maybe she has played. She has played before.
You're saying she's gone to like Top Golf.
And then
something.
She goes, she says, two, Scottie Scheffler and I can both bogey number seven.
Oh, there you go.
And then playing Augusta National is everything you'd think it would be and more. I am unbelievably grateful.
So again, and to every man that thinks that she should have given that away, get bent.
Experience
and,
of a lifetime. And, you're not giving it up to anybody.
And grow up. Exactly. Although I did see someone on Twitter that posted, and someone sent it to me and was like, hey, would this interest you? And I did think it was an intriguing sort of thing. You know, to someone that's a regular golfer that's good, this may not be a thing. But to your average hack, the idea was, could you win the Masters? Did you see this?
I think I saw this. Yes. I think I know where you're going.
Someone posed the idea, could you win the Masters if you got to start every hole on the green? So they're saying, wherever the furthest point is on the green, and some of those greens are undulating and massive.
Yep, and they're brutal.
Yeah, so you could be 150 feet away, but you know, on some of the par threes, you'd be closer.
Four shots to get it in on a lot of them. Five for some.
But that is the idea: is that everyone else has to play from the back. So Scheffler, what did he finish at?
He was like 11 under. 11 or something
under.
Like that. Yeah.
Right. So you get your 4 days, and you start. You're doing nothing but putting. You are on the fringe of the green. The furthest point away, could you win the Masters? And again, it was hilarious to see every bro. What are you talking about? A course record. Really? Really? You're like, you know how many two putts I'd have? Yeah, you just two putting the greens at Augusta, my friend.
I'm
just out there from 140 out, just two putting your way.
My initial reaction is, of course I could. And then as soon as I start thinking about the furthest point on all of those holes, I'm like, I don't know, man. It's like mini golf out there for some of them, putting on glass. And I just...
Look, I'm not... I will say this. If you put me in any sort of competition with Scottie Scheffler, he will beat me. So I do not believe... And by the way, you're talking about the pressure of playing at the Masters. Look, I'll go out to a really nice golf course sometimes, dude, and it's not a guarantee that it's a guarantee that I'm three putting half of the greens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's me not starting on the green. You're putting me at the furthest point, and you're telling me that, like, I mean, you think you're just gonna tap your way to it, Happy Gilmore style?
And for those of us who've played, and I have not played many courses like this, but a couple of the nicer courses I've played, a Pumpkin Ridge or a Chambers or something like that, where you really have to navigate some of those greens, and if your ball starts in a certain spot,
you're done.
You have to hit a perfect putt, otherwise it's either gonna come back to you or it's gonna roll off. So there are all these things that I think the average or casual fan isn't maybe taking into account. I'm not sure they could do it.
It's this anytime someone proposes this, just again, fragile male ego. It's the same guy that thinks he can get in the ring with Mike Tyson. It's the same guy that thinks that he could go out and score on Giannis. No problem. You kidding me? I'm putting? You should see my putting stroke. I'm out at Rose City. I'm draining putts left and right. Augusta doesn't know what's coming for it.
Vancouver 4 text line, I'd shoot a 250 just because of the pressure and everything that went with it. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, you kidding me? I'd be knee-knocking that thing. Dude, there's times, again, I play nice courses that I have no business being on, and I'll have like a 10-foot downhill putt, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I just... And half the time, I'll leave it short because I know that if I hit it at all...
It's going 40 feet.
Exactly. And you just watch it roll and roll and roll and roll. And you're like, cool, that's awesome. Really fun. It's great. Great time. And now imagine Augusta National where that green kicks the best players in the world in the balls. But you, Captain Langdon Farms, you're going to go out there and you're going to bring Augusta National to your knees. You're the same guy when he gets off the plane in Vegas is like, Vegas doesn't know what we're bringing. Vegas isn't ready for us.
Vegas isn't ready for us. I love that guy.
Meanwhile, Dave is the assistant manager at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Hey, Dave, I think they've seen you before.
they know your type, and actually they have their
own. I would love to test this. Like, we should get this is where you throw out one of the golfing YouTube bros and have them go do it. Someone who's like cool enough to where most people would watch, but also where Augusta would let him out. Like, I know a couple of years ago, someone went out and did, if you got unlimited mulligans, could you shoot under par? And they actually went out to Shinnecock. Mm-hmm. And I think they ended up shooting under par.
Yeah, I think, it was Portnoy, right?
I think so.
Dave Portnoy did it at Shinnecock Hills. Mulligans?
He got one round.
Or I think it was Bethpage, maybe?
Maybe it was Bethpage, but it was like he had unlimited mulligans from any spot. But didn't matter just off the tee, putts, anything.
But then in theory, like anyone, if you've played golf, could do that because you could just sit there until you hit a good shot.
You would think so.
But that's what he did.
He wanted to see if I could hit the perfect shot every time, could I go under par?
And there were parameters with it too, though. Like he had to finish within a certain time frame. Like okay. he couldn't go longer than like 6 or 7 hours. It was like whatever the longest time it took a normal PGA pro to play 18. And he just sat there, and that's all he did. And he had ball shaggers, and he just hit and hit and hit and hit. And he actually ended up going under par. I'd love to see, like, this would be a great challenge. Yeah. Go and put it on TV.
I would love to see someone, because, you know, let's not take a total hack, but let's also not take, like, a plus one that played on a mini tour. Mm-hmm. Get someone that's like a six.
Like a Rop.
Oh, yeah, Rop would be perfect. Someone like Rop
out
there.
Rop is, Rop's better than a six. But, yeah, like... Yeah, someone that's a good golfer, but nowhere near like a competitive golfer, and just I would love to see what happens. But by the way, if you took someone like me, if you took someone that's let's go from like a 13 to a 20, the Augusta National, the greens destroy them. You're not beating Scottie Scheffler, but someone like Rop, I'd be intrigued. And when he comes back, I'd be interested to see.
Yeah, we'll pose the question.
Pose the question if he thinks he would do it. But it's just I just would love more of these, and I get why they don't do it because there's no benefit to the pro, mm-hmm. and I'm not talking about washed up 55-year-old pros versus Joes. Yeah. I just think it would be hilarious to see. Like they said, the idea of like in every Olympic event, one just normal dude out of the stands.
What I think of in my mind's eye is when the Atlanta Braves started doing the freeze, the guy that could sprint and catch everybody who was running along the warning track. And like, you basically just know that this guy's world class at what he does, and here's average Joe, and we're going to see how long it takes to catch him.
Yeah, we talked about yesterday the guy that ran the Boston Marathon. He ran it in like 4:40, I think, were his average mile. I think he was like 4:40 was his average pace for 26.2 miles. And like for someone to go out and be like, hey,
beat him for 1 mile.
That's what I said. Could you, if I put the person at mile 25, you had to run 1.2 miles and that dude just got done running 25. Could you beat him? And so many people are like, yeah, whatever, bro. I got this. I'm going to sprint it. And you're like, really? You're going to sprint a 4 minute 40 mile. That's what you're going to sprint. Oh, and by the way, I'm not certain that he was sprinting at the end of his. Yeah, you're not getting that guy.
Yeah, that's insane.
Something tells me that he might be able to crank that up to like a 4:35 if it really mattered.
When you broke that down yesterday, it's mind defying. It doesn't seem like it should be able to be possible for a human to do that.
We had a sales guy here that pitched in the bigs for mm-hmm. a couple years. Mm-hmm.
He played for the Giants for a little bit.
For a little bit, and we went out to the parking lot once, and he was throwing, and it's terrifying. And he just was like messing around, mm-hmm. and he was like, "Hey, can you just throw one like kind of hard?" And he brought it, and I was like, "Duh!" And I said, "How fast was that?" And he goes, "Oh," he goes, "I don't know. I wasn't really warmed up." He goes, "That was like mid-80s." Mm-hmm. He's like, "That was maybe like 84." And I'm like, "Oh, I don't want like when you're just down there and you see someone up close that throws 96." You're going to stand in the batter's box like that. Hey, could you touch a 96 mile hour fastball from the pitcher? No. Not only could I not touch it, I don't think I could get the bat off my shoulder.
You don't think you could bunt it?
No.
Plus, those guys have so much movement.
Plus, the idea that I would have the balls to stand in front knowing that that thing could be coming inside on me, no way. Like, there's no way.
What if I got to dress like a knight?
That would be the only way. If you gave me full, I don't want metal. I need like a. Like if I was dressed like the Michelin man,
like
you gave
a
me a bunch of tires, like a hockey goalie, then maybe I'd stand in front of that thing. But until then, no. If you've ever stood next to someone throwing even go to a batting cage and turn it up to the mid-90s and unleash it. When we rented out the Kaiser Volcano Stadium, mm-hmm. they had a pitching machine that you could turn up. And I think theirs only went to like 90, and it was still terrifying.
And you hear all the average Joe bros like, oh, yeah, I could hit 90 when I was in high school. And then no, you go out there, and it's like, oh, dude, no, I don't think so.
No.
Before we get too far down the sports path, and this hasn't been a very sportsy first 12 minutes, we do need to get to yet another encounter with randoms with one Jason Sakanik.
Yeah, people often think that I make these things up. They're like, there's no way you can get in this many Larry David conflicts. And I'm like, oh.
This one isn't even a conflict.
Hang out with me
sometime. I'm amazed at how normal this person's tone seems for the request that they lobbied you for.
I don't know why these things come my way. Couldn't tell you. But I was leaving the parking lot last night, and I pull out, and I see there's a note underneath my windshield, and I'm like, son of a... So I first thought that maybe someone had hit my car and had left a note. And so I was like, you know, get out. And one, like, immediately looked. He's like, is there anything wrong with my
car? Scratch, dent, whatever.
No. And then I pull out the car, or I pull out the note, and it's handwritten in purple pen. And it's quite long. And I was like, oh, my God, what is this? And I quote, this is way more interesting than when someone left a note on my car calling me a soy boy.
This is much better than that.
Much, much better. I noticed your, quote, Stang, that would be my Mustang, came from a dealership, because I leased my car, so it has a Vancouver Ford plate on the front of it. You may own or have a higher-up position, and was wondering, and again, I quote, if I could borrow it via a legally binding contract between yourself and I.
So a person who you haven't even met in person has left a note asking if they could just borrow your car via a contract for an unspecified matter.
Legally binding contract between yourself and I. Not only am I currently down and out for a vehicle, which, hey, you know what? Take mine. I don't need it. You know what? I got 9 extra. No problem. Hey, I got a new bicycle. You go ahead and take my.
No. I'm not really using it anyways.
Not
you go
using
ahead.
It anyways. It's fine. So not only am I down and out currently for a vehicle, but maybe I can remember what simple joy feels like. Worst you could say is no. So I thought I'd ask. My license is good. And I believe he said I just got a GED.
I thought, yeah, I wasn't sure if that was GED or GPS.
Coming up in the world.
I don't know what that is, but he underlined it, but I can't read it. No one seems to know what the hell that is. It's something.
But the rest of it seems to make quite a bit of sense.
And then shoot me a call or a text, if interested, but after 8 p.m. He's busy. He's busy before 8. And they left his name and his number.
Yeah.
That happened. I had a stranger ask if I could just give him my brand new car.
For a while.
Yeah, but, for a while. Just
but under a legally binding contract.
Legally binding terms. That way, like, in case I decided that I wanted it back, I'm like, sorry. He could be like, we have a legally binding contract. Could you just give me your car?
So next question, are you going to call him back or text him back?
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and leave that one be and pretend that I didn't see that note. Because my thought is, oh my God, please don't come and
but
like...
think of the stories you could have for tomorrow's show if you called him tonight.
Please don't come and like light my car on fire. Like be like, whoa, really? You don't want to give me your car? Cool, I'll just light it on fire. Please don't do that. Please. And do you have any control over how weird you are like that? Has anyone ever?
It seems from their perspective that this is so normal.
Just yeah, just no big deal.
And though I like the justification as well. It's like, well, I haven't experienced joy in some time, and this would really pick me up. And you're like, oh well, that will now that you've explained it that way.
I think you should give to charity. I think this is classic. The rich won't give to the poor. We are the 99%.
It's not even mine. It's a leased car. I leased my car.
A likely story.
But you know what? You're right.
So that's... you're borrowing on a legally binding contract.
Yeah, wait a minute.
I am.
You're doing the exact same thing he said.
I am borrowing my car on a legally binding contract right now. The difference being, but you know what? Shame on me for paying for my legally binding car. You're right. Just take it. Just take it. Johnny, you are right. Just, you know, this. I feel like I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm going to go ahead and give you a call and be like, you
I think
know
we
what,
should
buddy?
At least go out for a beer and just see. See what he's like.
What? I just.
What a request.
Sometimes, man, I am. The amount of run-ins I've had lately with people, I just. There's part of me that wants to call. And,
I mean, people are fascinating, but how is it that you end up in these?
There's like a gravitational pull. I do want to call him and just be like, hey, this is the guy with the quote Stang, and I just had one question for you. What the
what?
Hell? Like, really?
What was that? Did you think I'd say yes?
Like, what?
And I like that he acknowledges that, you know what? You're probably going to say no, but the worst you can do is say no.
I'm doing this next time I see a pretty girl at the bar.
Yeah.
I'm going to write her a note.
There you go.
I'm going to give it to her.
And just, then if you like your car, put it out on the car, too.
On the
just
car,
to,
too.
Just to see.
I'm going
to
do both.
Mm-hmm. Just, it's going to go well for you.
It strikes me as the sort of thing that, like, this is the only thing that bothers me is that, like, at some point he's going to be like, I'm just going to take it anyways. That's the sort of mentality where someone's like, you know
what?
I'm just going to take what you have because I want it, and yeah, that's about it. So just gonna go ahead and take it. But between the Craigslist and the Facebook Marketplace bike market that I've been dealing with lately, and then the soy boy notes for my parking, and now this, I just...
Yeah, the vehicle-related run-ins of Jason Sakanik have become quite the chronicle. I just... I don't know how you can hit him with this frequency. It's really impressive at this point.
I should write him back. What is it? Gas, ass, or grass? No one borrows this car for free, Johnny. So which one is it? Which one are we doing here?
See if maybe he would do some sort of trade deal. Maybe he has something that you want.
You're looking for money, or are you looking for something more sexual? I don't know, but we got to work out some sort of barter system here. I hate to do it, but yeah, I don't own the car. Therefore, I can't legally just give it to you. But maybe you can borrow for like a weekend. It'd be great.
Well, unfortunately, it sounds like the answer for now is no. But
right now.
But we'll see later down the road. We will try to have a sports show today. We do have the NBA playoff play-in starting tonight. Two games. One of them is a winner or a loser goes home. We had a dunk legend retiring. We had an owner picking up the tab. We also got insight into one team's pitch to the greatest basketball player in the world about 14 years ago. That was a wild one. Some transfer news and a new college football proposal with some details from what we heard about the college football of tomorrow. That's all coming up later in this show. Of course, we'll hit in the news, Hot 5 at 5, and the club, where AI girlfriends will be a topic tonight.
Ooh, we'll pay attention to that.
320.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the fan. Right.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time, a Buck, Souk, and Ortner edition. Or as the Vancouver 4 text line pointed out, it could be an SOB edition of Souk, Ortner, and Buck. Yeah. So I kind of like that. Yeah. We could roll with that. Like there was also another question asking us the origin of Isachi, because they had missed that. And
it's the rebrand.
It's the rebrand. The reason it came about is because we got a new graphics package for our YouTube. If you're not following us there, check us out at 1080 The Fan on YouTube, where you can see all of our shows streaming. But we're not even sure at this point who the culprit was, but someone who put up Primetime with Isaac and Souk, they misspelled Isaac. And that does happen from time to time. People put two S's instead of two A's. But in this case, Isaac walked in and looked up. He goes, I've never seen anyone spell my name that way. And it was I-S-S-A-C-E.
Isachi.
And he goes, I don't even know how I would say that. Like, Isace? And I said, I think it's like an Italian brand, like Isachi. He goes, oh, I like that.
The rebrand is complete.
And the rebrand is on.
Now so, the rebrand gets him to Augusta National, where he's hanging out with Peyton Manning.
Vancouver 4 text line also pointing out to us that Peyton's a member at Augusta National. That's why he has a
jacket. Is he really?
So that makes sense.
How do you become a member at Augusta National?
I don't know. I remember, didn't Condi Rice become the first female to be a member there?
Because,
or just play?
I think Condi was a member. I do know that like there's certain positions... Like it, the like the vice president or the president of AT&T gets one, and that happened to be a female too. I'm not certain how Condi Rice, if there was a, if she applied or if she is in a certain position, but I know there are positions that if you ascend to those in companies, mm-hmm. one of the perks is you get a membership at Augusta National.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if you become like the CEO of, you know, I don't know, like
IBM or one IBM of their corporate whatever. Sponsors yeah. or whatever. Yeah. yeah.
Then
sure.
you, they give you, yeah, here's a green jacket, but like just the regular rich dude, like, I mean, I guess it's Peyton Manning. He's not just a regular rich dude. They probably want Peyton Manning.
You'd imagine,
at
yeah.
at Augusta National. But, you know, I don't think like, I don't know, like John Lynch or like Warren Sapp. I'm just, they can't just be like, hey, I'm going to go.
No,
be a
it's not any
Augusta.
Old football player.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday's AAA heating and cooling poll question, we asked if after Scottie Scheffler's win at Augusta, we wanted to know how much you care about a superstar's personality. Don't care about it at all. It matters, but not much. Or it is everything. 57% wins that with it matters, but not much. Mm. So we got the numbers back today, the Masters ratings, and down 20% from last year, but. Overall, like it's not
they're flat. They're just kind of
they've just kind of plateaued.
Most of the Masters numbers are gonna be somewhere in that what were they like was it 3.5, right? 3.5, 4 million, something like that. Like
yeah.
most years they're hovering right around there. Like during the peak, like when Tiger was winning Masters, some of those got up to like 18, 19 million.
Yeah, I think when you were like, when they combined all of the rounds this year, it was something like, it was like 9 million or something like that. But it was.
Yeah, but it averages out like on
right.
Sunday.
It averages out to like 3. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's. I'm looking here at the Masters rating Sunday's final round. Oh, that's way more than I thought. They're saying that got 9.5.
Oh, so that was just the final round. Then I saw the 9.5 number. I thought that was for the tournament. That's for the final round?
Yeah, that's the final round. I thought I saw yesterday that it was like at like 4 or something, but maybe that was...
Could have been in a demo.
That was a... Well, maybe it was a different day.
Oh, sure. On that, sure, sure. That,
yeah,
that
Sunday's final round, which would you would think would be the highest one. Yeah, about 9.5 million. So... You know, that's nice, even though it was a 22% decline from last year's 12 million. But I think that the idea is that the Masters kind of, they draw numbers no matter what because it's the Masters. But when you have a transcendent figure like Tiger Woods.
Even so, though, if on that list, if I'm not mistaken, does that one have the Tiger Masters on it? Because I saw a graphic earlier today, the last one he won, it only generated like 11 million.
Did
so
it, really?
it didn't, it I would have thought it would have been 50% higher than all the recent ones. And,
yeah, so this is the TV rating for the Masters final round. Yeah, they do have it here. So this is interesting. So something is funky because the TV ratings, maybe this isn't millions, maybe this is the rating because it said last year's, the 2022, is 5.8. And then it was 5.5, and that's what this is what I was looking at yesterday.
Yeah, maybe that's the rating and
maybe
not the
millions.
Maybe
that's the rating and not the millions.
Because the rating
of
is a percentage of either
yes.
households, TV sets, you know,
so,
people in the
so
demo.
So that has to be different because if this is saying last year was a 5.8, but then they're saying that it was a decrease to get, you know, whatever it was 12 million people, then what it has to be a difference between a rating and millions of people that are
right.
watching.
Well, today's poll question brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. You can, of course, find them at AAAIAQ.com. Family-owned business helping families for over 60 years. Asking you about not specifically about the playoff play-in format, but sports format changes in general. We do get the playoff play-in tonight. There's a loser-goes-home game between the Warriors and the Kings. Mm-hmm. LeBron was on the record 4 or 5 years ago saying that whoever came up with the play-in tournament should be fired. Well, then his Lakers have needed to be in it at like 4 out of 5 years. But the question today is with the start of the playoff play-in tournament, can format changes to sports improve your own interest? The answer options are no, stop changing it all, yes, but rarely, or change it all, why not?
Yeah, I think it can. I'm going to stop short of saying change it all, but I think it's a little more than rarely. Look, I think adding more NFL teams to the playoffs, I wasn't a fan of that. I didn't like the extra playoff game. I didn't like only rewarding one team with a bye.
Yeah.
I think you get very, very mediocre teams. Sub-500 teams can qualify. I don't think we need 8-win teams in the postseason.
And I think, how long has it been since we've seen one of those teams that far down in the seeding be competitive?
We've seen like the Arizona Cardinals went to a Super Bowl. The Giants went to a Super Bowl, won 2 Super Bowls, wild card teams. So I'm not saying that wild card teams can't make it. But again, if you're a 500 team, I don't need you in the postseason. I just don't.
Yeah.
So, like, from that standpoint, I don't need an expanded one. But baseball, to me, in the expanded playoffs has been the best thing for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember growing up. I mean, my God, you could get an 89, 90-win team that didn't make the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it used to be either you win your division or you go home.
Yeah, I remember the it was in the early 90s, but the Giants and Braves, the Braves were in the NL West at that point in time, for whatever reason. They both won over 100 games, and they had to play a one-game playoff to see who got into the playoffs. The Giants won 100 games that year and did not go to the playoffs. So
yeah.
Expanding to wild card, expanding to another division, I think was great. I think college football playoff is way better than just putting
Absolutely.
Two teams in for the BCS. I think if it's done right, it makes a ton of sense. In general, I kind of like this playoff play-in tournament because it gives us a team. The 9 and 10 teams, did they deserve a 7-game series? Maybe not, but give them a one and done, a one shot to play your way into it 2 nights in a row, and I'm here for that.
Yeah, the worst idea that you can ever have is it's always been done that way. Therefore, we can't change it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's there's no business that runs like that. It's silly. You know, imagine if, you know, look at all the innovation that's going on. If you just had someone that's like, nope, this digital thing, nah, no. I'm going back. Everything is pencil and paper. Like, that's a dumb way to do it. So, yes, you should always reevaluate. And if something makes more sense, by all means, change it. But to say that you should just change everything and go willy-nilly, the NCAA tournament, for example. Like, I think expanding that tournament is ridiculous.
I do too. People are talking about a 96-team bracket. Get out.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Because that's already a tough enough gauntlet of one and done games to have to run for the best team in the country. And we're already getting teams that are either barely 500 or only got in by grace of the automatic bid in their tournament. And I think that's a great system too. But we shouldn't just start giving teams that are, 13 and 17 bids. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
By the way, I wanted to double check. I wanted to see the number. But yeah, in 87, after the Mets won the World Series, they won 92 games and didn't make the postseason.
Mm-hmm. And that happened a lot back then.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a run there when they were, because the Mets only won the one World Series. But those teams only made the postseason twice. They didn't make it with 92, 87, and 91 games during that run and only made and didn't make the postseason. So, yeah, you can change and evaluate things, but just be smart about it. Expansion or change for the sake of change is stupid. But when stuff makes sense or the sport is growing or needs to be contracted, you should always be willing to innovate and always be willing to look at your game. And I think as much crap as baseball is taken, and some of the ideas are stupid, see mm-hmm. the World Series, counting. I do applaud baseball and the pitch clock and baseball is and the shift. Baseball has at least been willing to say our game is becoming less popular and more regional and more niche.
They're trying things.
They're trying.
Mm-hmm.
And for baseball curmudgeon that it gets angry and shouts to the sky, that guy will always watch baseball.
Yep.
But they're trying to grow the sport. And, I think that's a smart thing.
Well, with the playoff play-in starting up tonight, we got plenty more hoops to talk. I do want to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk about the Caitlin Clark effect. We got some numbers from that draft.
I can't recall something that is a must-see event, like no matter what she does.
Yeah.
It does not matter what she does. She drives eyeballs to... It's probably Tiger Woods the last time I saw something quite like this.
We'll talk about that, plus a dunk legend hangs him up, and the pitch to LeBron James. What happened there, or what were the Knicks thinking? That's all coming up, but first, Will with SportsCenter.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time, an SOB edition. Souk, Ortner, and Buck here. As Rop's still out, he'll be back on Thursday. We talked some Masters numbers earlier in the show. Want to talk, and I didn't think I'd be saying this today, some WNBA draft numbers. My goodness, the Caitlin Clark effect, we knew it was real when they were playing actual games, but they saw a massive increase. Last year, about 500,000 people watched that draft in the WNBA. This year, 2.45 million.
Almost 2 million more people tuned in. It's the first time I've ever watched the WNBA draft. And by the way, we didn't, you know, we had it on, and I'm not going to say that we were staring at it the whole time, but the fact, again, give credit to the women's game because it's not just Caitlin Clark. Now, Caitlin Clark is the reason why anyone tuned in.
She's moving the needle now.
But there were three or four other players that were kind of household names that if you've been following. You know, Brink was someone that people wanted to watch. Angel Reese. And by the way, I don't think this is sexist. I think it helps for a lot of men that a lot of these gals were really attractive.
Absolutely.
Like the Angel Reese, Cameron Brink dress photos.
They're stunning.
Dude, that thing was everywhere. I mean, hundreds of thousands of retweets. I mean, we had that, our Vancouver 4 text line, we're blowing up with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Will's over there, like, that. Will's just thinking it in some way, if he can just get a meeting with Cameron Brink. You know,
DM might have been sent.
Go Habsies on a fetus together, that kid's going to be worth millions, your two genetic height.
So, we're both tall, good looking.
There you go.
Clearly. You know, it's like
at least one of you.
So, like, there's a lot of those factors, but it doesn't happen without Caitlin Clark. Like, again, I'd say that even in this tournament, I thought the LSU-Iowa game was the one that elevated everything. But clearly, just the fact that Caitlin Clark, no matter what she does, draws eyeballs. She also, by the way, became the number one selling rookie jersey in any platform ever. Ever. There's nothing. Fanatics, which, by the way, this is another strike on Fanatics, which is the most garbage company in the world. F that place. There is not a single Caitlin Clark t-shirt, jersey, sweatshirt, whatever. All gone.
Yeah.
Like, how were you not prepared that this was going to be a big deal?
And that makes me wonder, and because it's Fanatics, my guess is it's just that they weren't prepared. But I also wonder, were they prepared for a big number and it still eclipsed that? Because they haven't said what that number is. But they said that it eclipsed when Trevor Lawrence was taken first overall.
Lawrence and Wemby and all of the big name prospects that have come through all the different sports.
But I guess on draft night, Lawrence had been the previous kind of record holder in 2021. 3 years later, it's now Caitlin Clark.
So I don't know. I've said this a million times. I don't know where this goes. I don't know if college basketball next year, the women's game, who does have Paige Beckers is returning, Juju. I mean, there are some built-in stars already. I don't know. The game certainly is going to continue to grow, and women's sports across the board is on the rise. I don't know if anyone can pick up the baton that Caitlin Clark left. I hope so, but we may see this thing swing back significantly. Now, the real question I think is more puzzling to me is, can this do anything for the WNBA?
Right, because I think finally you're at a place where it's maybe not just one person. It's like, oh, that gal can dunk, or oh, she was really good at Tennessee for those 4 years. Like, you're getting a handful of stars that I feel like, I don't know if I would consider them household names, but closer than that league has ever been, coming in at the same time.
And you're getting some S-talk.
You're hearing the
Taurasis of the world and that are taking shots and saying, hey, there's going to be a rude awakening and you're going to have a target on your back. So, you know, I think the highest rated WNBA game of all time is right around 1 million people. I think it was one of the Las Vegas Aces championship games. 1 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin Clark was doing $12 million in like the Sweet 16.
And she got $2.5 million for the draft last night.
Yeah. So, you know, and what was it, 20 something, I think, for the final against
against 18.7 million, I think.
Just under 20.
Just under 20.
But it beat the men's by $4 million.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm interested. I want to see, you know, if this can translate. Because there's part of me that just from the history of the WNBA, I don't know if anything can get a summer sport like that penetrates the masses. But if there is, I am done betting against Caitlin Clark. Because I thought there'd be a drop-off after LSU.
I think we all did.
I'm like, I know that there's going to be a big audience, but I was like, the LSU one was the perfect storm. There'll be a drop. There wasn't. It just kept growing and growing and growing and growing. So, you know, that game one, if the WNBA is smart, I don't know if what the schedule is, but they should do the Indiana Fever versus wherever the hell Dana Taurasi plays. Because, you know, Taurasi's the one kind of taking some shots. Dude, get a big matchup there where someone is going to go at her and drop an elbow and maybe get a little rivalry going. Build on that. You have a generational star. This is what baseball does such a piss-poor job at. It's like you get a guy like Ohtani, and it's to market the blank out of that. Yeah. Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Adley Rutschman. You've got some really great young players or have had in the past with the Mike Trout thing.
Yep. And haven't done anything with it.
Push them.
Yeah.
So the WNBA, just even if it pisses off the rest of the WNBA, who cares? Market the living hell out of Caitlin Clark. And if you're those other players in the WNBA, you can be mad all you want, but realize that the Caitlin Clark's contract is like $72,000 a year in the WNBA. For each year she plays.
Yeah, no, the most she will make will be 4 years from now. The last year of her contract, $76,000.
And the reason why that is, and please stop with this is egregious that the women get paid like this. They don't make any money because no one buys tickets and no one tunes in and the TV deal is crap. The only reason the league exists in the first place is the WNBA has subsidized
and
it for
two decades.
And
if the Caitlin Clark effect is real and they can start charging a lot more for advertising, everyone gets paid more.
So you can be pissy that Caitlin Clark is getting all this attention and that, oh, well, we had great players before that. Sure. But if she gets everyone paid and she gets more eyeballs and people start appreciating what you're doing and more people pay and pay attention and more people go to games and the TV deals go up, everyone gets paid. It's like when Tiger Woods was at his peak. Some people didn't like the coverage, but he got golfers paid.
Yep.
And Caitlin Clark so far has gotten everyone paid. So you cannot like it, but you sure as hell better embrace it.
What do they say? A rising tide lifts all boats?
Because that young woman, she moves the needle like not many things.
And she's taking people with her.
I can't remember the last time maybe I have to go back to Tiger back in the 90s, 97, 98, when he won the Masters, trying to take someone who just grabbed a sport and said, get on my back. I'm going to make people pay attention to it. And Caitlin Clark is doing that right now. Whether she deserves it or not, it's a moot point. People are watching in ridiculous droves.
We will shift gears coming up next to the NBA. A legend hangs him up, and could Jody Allen earn some goodwill by picking up the tab at Blazer games? One owner tried this. We'll let you know who. Coming up next on 1080 The Fan. Welcome back to Primetime. Shifting gears to the NBA. The Clippers are moving to a new building next year. They will no longer be sharing Crypto.com Arena with the Lakers.
There's a lot of toilets in the new building.
Apparently so, and they're doing that thing, I guess, called, what's it called, the Wall, which is going to be their, for their most, you know, the diehard fans, it's going to be the loud end of the floor. Yeah. And apparently Ballmer says he's going to reward people who stand up and make extra noise, and don't know how you're going to do it, but I like the idea, the sentiment. You want somebody who's going to try different things. Steve Ballmer's one of them. Well, last night, as a thank you to the fans, he picked up the tab on the Crypto.com Arena concessions for 19,000 fans. Now, I have searched high and low for details on what that consisted of. I don't know if everybody got a voucher. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't unlimited beer, but
I don't know.
But clearly, everybody got to eat for free, courtesy of Steve Ballmer.
I don't know. What does a night of concessions bring in?
I know the cost, because like I just went to a Winterhawk game and I went to a Blazer game. You're looking at about $15 for a burger.
No. I'm saying
like
is
total take home.
What does a team make off concessions? Like what was his bill? You say 19,000 people. I'm assuming that's a couple hundred G's. Maybe, you know, I'm not going to say that all 19,000 people buy something, but let's just say that if you averaged it out per person, you said $30.
Mm-hmm.
What's 19, you know, I don't know, what's 19,000 times 30 or 40 bucks?
Yeah, let's see.
Something like that? I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, you're going to have some people that bring their own food or don't buy anything, but you're going to have people that buy $100 worth of beer or wine or whatever else. So let's see, 19K times 30 bucks a head, you'd be looking at $570,000.
Yeah,
so half a million bucks.
I think Bomber can swing it. But.
Yeah, I'm sure he can, but I don't know that a ton of owners are going out of their way to do that.
I like Steve Ballmer.
I do too.
Like, I think anytime you have an owner that cares and that is passionate, yeah, he's kind of silly sometimes, but you get a guy like that, that money isn't an issue. He's doing something cool like that for the fans. He's building an arena where he wants people to be loud, encourage people to do that, and apparently not have to wait in line at bathrooms. I know that's a stupid thing, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, Steve Ballmer is claiming that he will have more toilets in his new arena
mm-hmm.
than any building ever.
That, like, basically, if you're going to have to go, you're not going to have to wait.
And I think that that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That the idea of someone who's like, hey, I go to games, and it's terrible when, because you're not trying to go during the peak part of a game. You're trying to go in between quarters or timeouts, and no one wants to stand in line for 35 minutes at the can. And I think it's awesome that he's putting that sort of, I don't know, thought and money into this. And it's like, hey, I'm not gonna be cheap on this.
And obviously,
I think Ballmer is great for the game.
It gives you, you know, it gives you good PR because we're talking about it today. But also, I imagine how fun it'd be to walk in as a fan that night and be like, whoa, everything's free? okay. Like, load me up, let's go.
Oh, I've heard that there's some music acts that do they'll pick a random night, like some of the big stadium acts, where they'll do a lottery at the end of the tour. And one of the crew members wins the merchandise sales.
Oh, that's cool.
From that night. Which
I like that.
Which can be, again, several hundred thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they'll do that where one person, you know, the rigging guy or the lighting guy is like, hey, man, you won. And, you know, here's a check for 375 G's. Congratulations. And yeah, that's
so, it's know. Like it's like the opposite of credit card roulette.
You know? Yeah. It's kind of a fun
instead
little...
of getting stuck with the bill, you get the take home.
Well, I mean, God, what would you give to have, no offense to old Jody Allen, but what would you give to have Steve Ballmer be in charge of the Blazers right now and not Jody Allen?
You know, it's, quite a bit.
And that's why eventually when the team gets sold, I just hope it gets sold to, and I think at this point there's not many people that are cheap that are buying teams because they're so expensive. But who's the Ishbia or whatever?
Matt Ishbia, the Suns guy.
Again, I think that guy seems like a bit of a putz. But if I'm the Phoenix Suns, a fan, I love that guy's my owner.
Yeah.
Because he's a billionaire and he
and
wants
he cares.
To, yes. He's not running it like a business necessarily. He's running because he wants to win.
Yes.
And, you know, he's giving
which is different than just to generate the steady revenue.
Yes. And, you know, there's a guy that took his team off of a crappy cable network, put it on regular TV, and then said, oh, by the way, if you don't have the ability to get, you know, NBC, ABC, here's a free digital antenna. I will send it to you so you can watch our games. I love when owners do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it bums me out. And I'm not saying Jody Allen's the worst owner in the world, but she's an absentee landlord. And that
absentee
and that
is the issue there. It's not that she's doing anything that generates feelings one way or the other. It's just that you don't know because you don't hear from her. And who knows how long it's going to be like that. I think what Ballmer's doing is great. One quick side note, a dunk legend hanging him up, Blake Griffin, saying that he's finally done today. Yeah. I mean, he hadn't been competitive for a while now, but I was thinking for a second, is he like the face of the Clippers all time?
For me, yes.
Or would you give it to anybody else?
I'd say, I mean, I think about when you said the Clippers, my first thought was Chris Paul.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, they were quite the tandem there.
He was the one that came to mind. But yeah, I mean, if you're talking Clippers, first off, there was no Clippers. That team was absolute dog mess
mm-hmm.
forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you had that weird run. We had, what, Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles and Lamar Odom, which was mildly interesting. They still sucked.
Yeah.
And then Chris Paul and Blake Griffin made him relevant. They were no longer the worst team in the league.
I still remember the video that went viral because they traded for Chris Paul, I think either right at training camp or it was late in the game, and there was a video going out of Blake Griffin finding out as he was getting onto a team bus that they had just traded for Chris Paul, mm-hmm. and that's when he grabbed, I think, DeAndre Jordan. He's like, it's about to be Lob City! And that's how Lob City started, or the catchphrase is because Blake was like, oh my gosh, Chris Paul is going to throw me so many lobs, and he did.
Blake jumping over the Kia is a seminal moment because that's right around 6th to 7th grade for people my age.
Yeah.
that's a seminal moment. Like, that is, to me, that's like one of the big, like, I remember how awesome that was.
Before his body crapped out, dude, Blake Griffin was a beast.
His athleticism was so freaking awesome.
That dude was legit. So there was a random list. I had just, this is from Clutch Points. I just wanted to look it up. And they went Chris Paul 1, Blake Griffin. Then they went Bob McAdoo. Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, McAdoo, okay, yeah.
DeAndre Jordan. Elton Brand, who you kind of forget about.
Yeah.
Elton Brand was good. And then you get into the Randy Smiths, Danny Manning. Yeah. You know.
They drafted Olowo Kandi number one overall,
Chris
I think.
Chris Kaman. Yeah, Olowo Kandi was number one.
Yeah.
I remember Benoit Benjamin back in the day. If you want to get, like, you want to go old school, like, random crappy-ass Clippers. You know, but they just... Bill Walton played there for a little bit. Like, I think that was back when they were the San Diego Clippers.
Yeah.
It's just that that franchise for 40 years was just a waste of time and space. And now that's it's a real team, and it's cool that they no longer have to play second fiddle in an arena. They're
getting their own place.
They're getting their own place. Because you know that's awkward, like when you go into the whatever it is now, Crypto, it's not the Staples Center anymore. Mm-hmm. They have to cover up all the Laker banners.
Well, yeah, and like
you have no Clipper banner to, like, you're like, what?
They give the Lakers like the theater effect on the court and stuff, and the Clippers are just like, nah, everything's lit up and open.
And that's the other one. I think Ballmer will not just settle for his team being the also-ran team. I think it's awesome.
Definitely. Still need to get to some LeBron New York Knicks pitch news. That was leaked earlier this week. We'll get into the NBA playoff play-in coming up as well. But next, some more details about a college football proposal have come out. An official pitch deck was leaked. And we've got those details for you next. What the Super 70 league and divisions could look like. That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.